Good afternoon. Joining us on the line now is Zoe Phillips. She's written a cautionary tale for all women and girls over the age of 16 who may find themselves quite innocently on the wrong side of the law. Her book, Empower Her Justice, a manifesto for equality and fairness in policing, tells her story and hopes to ensure that no other woman in the UK has to go through what she did. She's dedicated to providing women with the knowledge, resources and support they need to navigate the complexities of the British police and court system. Welcome to the show, Zoe.
Thanks very much, Hannah. Great to be here. Thank you very much.
Oh, it's a pleasure. It's great to have you with us. So tell us, first of all, if you don't mind, exactly what happened to you, because it sounds pretty horrendous.
Yeah, it's something that you think is only in a nightmare, and I'm sure it'll make a great Netflix series one of these days. Absolutely normal. You date a chap, or, you know, I dated a chap, as I have done all my life, dated for about 6 months. It ended. It went wrong. It went horrendously wrong, but it ended. Sadly to say, he blocked me. I mean, we read about this. We've actually read about something similar from this Bettina Alexander. I know she was dating some doctor in Barcelona until recently, who basically duped her, etc. I mean, you read about this in all the news and everything, and you don't think it's going to happen to you. Safe to say, this man that I had dated, a senior army officer in the British military, occasionally unblocked me and reblocked me, occasionally unblocked me and reblocked me and repeated. And eventually, I actually reported him to the British police because I'd had enough, and he started sending threats to me. But what I didn't realise how easy it was in the British police system was for him to make a counter-allegation, to lie through his teeth, and to then have me arrested by four police officers from my very front door. It's horrendous. I'm just a law-abiding, normal human being and citizen of the UK, pay my taxes and national insurance and all the rest of it, and had a fantastic global marketing career as well all my life, earned my way through my education and MBA and all the rest of it. And I find myself literally on my doorstep being arrested by four officers. It happened at the beginning of lockdown, and unfortunately he made such exaggerated lies and dishonest statements that it was just very easy for the police to arrest me and then charge me and then throw me through a court case for 7 months. Hannah, I'd never been in a courtroom before this all happened to me. I'm not divorced. I'm not married yet anyway, but I'd never actually experienced anything like this. I'd certainly never been in trouble with the police before in any country. And I've lived in four countries abroad in my life. Like many of your listeners might be expats. I myself have been an expat for my work for probably about 15 years of my professional life. But here I was being arrested in my own country. Really bizarre situation. I think it just went from bad to worse as I went through this 7 months of court hearings, always pleading not guilty, and getting stuffed left, right and centre by the law. And it seems very easy for people to make further statements that are incorrect and false and dishonest to get someone further thrown under the bus. And you're quite, yeah.
Zoe, can I just stop you there just to ask you what...
It was just horrendous. And
Sorry, I just want to ask you what they were arresting you for, if you don't mind. What did he say you'd done?
Of course. Yeah, so he said I'd harassed him. He made a retrospective stalking diary, which I'd never heard of, a particular charity called Paladin. And he'd actually gone online, downloaded a stalking diary and backdated it to even dates and times that we were actually in a relationship together. And I have all his hundreds of text messages to me and his emails asking me to invite him to events, etc. He made a very, very powerful statement again against me. He printed off all the police, just a one-sided text conversation. So it looked like I was a mad woman that had just literally been barraging this guy with text messages when that was clearly not the case. Sure, when he decided to end it on a one-line text message, and this again is a senior army officer in the British military, like his style, not. But anyway, I had rebutted that and rebutted his allegations. Sadly, he printed out all the one side was.
Oh, Zoe, it's a terrible connection. We keep losing you. I'm going to put on a song and call you back because we're not getting the whole story. It's very frustrating. I don't know if you can hear me, but I'm going to put on a song and call you on the phone. We do have Zoe with us back on the line. Are you there, Zoe?
I'm here again. Sorry okay. about that. My Wi-Fi over here. But yeah, I think I was just, I'll take off where I left
off. Yeah, please. Thank you.
But yeah, I mean, it's a very interesting story. What happened, the police, when they arrested me, and I do mean four, literally four very tall, very large police officers came to my door and seized me. But they took all my digital equipment. So they took my mobile phone and my laptop. I just started a new job literally 2 months before this all happened in January 2020. And of course, they took that as well. So I had no evidence to show the police to say, well, hang on a minute, hang on, wait. I can show you that I haven't harassed this man. It was a dialogue. Sadly, the story was also leaked to the press. I don't know, you know, we might have our suspicions who did that, but can't prove that. And I was all over the press very negatively. My whole good name and reputation was besmirched in 2020.
God, that's horrendous.
Yeah, most people, of course, coping with lockdown in 2020, as indeed I was as well, on my own and with no family. So not only was I coping with that like everyone else and queuing up for goods and everything and curfews and stuff, just like in Spain, I also had to deal with all this legal documentation, which was being fired at me from every direction. He was absolutely intent on absolutely throwing me under a bus. And you just think this is horrific for someone that you'd trusted and, yeah, maybe rose-tinted glasses and thought you liked at the stage, but certainly in the early stages of the relationship. And, you know, we've all dated people and, you know, we've probably all had an experience where a relationship has gone well or has gone wrong. But I think it's horrendous that anyone can actually be put through something like this. The situation did get incredibly worse. He was clearly intent not to give up. He kept making impact statements about it. I ran out of money. I lost my job because the work said you can't do your job and have a criminal conviction. The police charged me. It was 36 hours before a trial, so after 7 months, and I'd spent about £20,000 at that stage, I ran out of money and I told the solicitor, and so she wrote to court and said she didn't represent me anymore. Mm. So I was left without counsel, without anyone, on my own, lockdown, and it was June 2020. So a friend of mine gave me a contact of his that was cheaper and was available 36 hours later for the trial. And they just said, plead guilty because you'll do everyone a favour because you'll basically, the courts are behind with lockdown. Also, if you do have him cross-examined, you'll be convicting further harassment of him. So just do the courts a favour and plead guilty. I did go on to appeal everything after that. It's not been successful. It's taken 4 years out of my life. He has made continuous more allegations against me, even sweeping in subordinates in the army who've left the army, but he's tried to use them to say that I've been making direct contact with him. I'm not joking, Hannah. It's just gone beyond the pale. It's taken 4 years of my life, and I thought, I've got to change this into something positive. What can I do? Yeah. So I've written this little manifesto, which is now available online from Amazon and also from Waterstones, if you do visit the UK, or online from Amazon as well. And it basically talks through a few red flags in relationships, which we all, you know, sadly have to go through at some stage, whether you're, you know, dating women, men, whatever.
Can I ask you about that then? So do you think there were red flags then?
Yes.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I mean, people, I'm constantly asked, what did you learn from this? What did you learn from this whole experience? And I said, the biggest thing I've learned is that if a guy starts swearing and screaming about his previous girlfriend, enormous red flag. In fact, I have understood since, subsequently, that he's used the same language to describe me. And let me tell you, the text messages that I have in which he describes his previous girlfriend are not very nice. In fact, I've got quite a lot of text messages from him about his previous girlfriend and his previous work colleagues as well in the army, and really criticizing them, swearing about them on text message to me. So I think, you know, that should have all been complete red flags. He told me he had one daughter when we first went out. Subsequently, after 4 months of dating, he then admitted he had two daughters. I believe the lady that he eventually went off with was pregnant when he was throwing me under the bus in 2020. So he's now got three daughters. It's just a very sad state of affairs that you can be taken in by somebody like that. I think also there were clues in there. He sent me text messages. Well, again, I have all these and nobody's interested to see them, but I might as well talk about it. I've got all the text messages that say he's trying to cope with booze and he needs therapy and he's got to admit it that he needs help. I've got all the text messages.
So but why is it that you said nobody wants to see them when you were going through court and he was accusing you of all these things and he'd sent the transcripts of a one-way conversation as if it was just you messaging him? Surely the fact that you have the communication showing it wasn't one way is completely relevant and evidence for your part.
Yeah. You know what, Hannah? I wish you'd been the judge. Yeah, absolutely. Well, I went through 7 months of almost, I banged my head against the wall with this initial solicitor who was just an assistant solicitor because I was on a bit of a budget. I'm not a millionaire. I'd love to be one day. I keep entering the lottery. But, you know, I was on a budget. She was an assistant solicitor and she just kept saying, oh, I do hundreds of harassment cases. Leave it with me. Leave it with me. And I said, have you sent the evidence over yet? Have you sent it? Have you sent it? And she said, leave it with me. Leave it with me. So until the actual plea hearing, I hadn't sent anything and I didn't know that I was supposed to submit anything to the court the minimum of 2 weeks prior to the trial. This all came out afterwards. Incidentally, there is a legal ombudsman case out against that solicitor, which the legal ombudsman came back and said, no, they haven't done anything wrong. However, I was desperately saying to them, they have, because they didn't say that I could have submitted all this evidence. And subsequently, through all the appeals, no, because apparently you have to appeal on law, point of law, and apparently false information is not a point of law. Now, if anyone's online and hears this and says, actually it is, then please do get in touch with Hannah, who'll get in touch with me, because that will be great. But all the way along.
So you've written this manifesto basically having done a massive amount of research, not just what's happened to you, but into the legal system and the police system to try and kind of warn other people, other women particularly, I guess, of how they can go about protecting themselves.
Exactly. Yeah, that's exactly right. Yeah, especially if they're in the UK. Or have relatives, friends in the UK or move back to the UK or sometimes live in the UK. Absolutely. I mean, I can't express enough how I had never been in trouble with the police before. I'd never been in a courtroom. I have done a lot of research, Hannah. It's taken blood, sweat and tears, but I got to the bottom of the police code of conduct. I found out that I should have had a warning or I could have had a warning in the first place, one of these verbal warnings or something to say, if you send him another text message, you will be arrested or will take it very seriously. But it's clear there was none of that because there were no text messages that, you know, it would have been relevant for. So he just went in whole hog and just said, no warning, just arrest the woman. And then the other things like when I was in the police station, which initially, first time I was in there, I was in for 12 and a half hours in a cell with nothing but cold water. They gave me a duty solicitor, and then I found out only last year, actually, through digging around through the Solicitors Regulations Authority, that he'd actually been struck off in 2014. Mm. That's 6 years before he was representing me in a police station. You know, something odd, very odd has happened. Mm. And then for other things to happen, like being arrested by four male officers is really important as well. It's, you know, that is actually illegal, and being made to strip in front of them and put prison clothing coats on.
Zoe, I'm so sorry you went through all this. It's absolutely awful. I think it's amazing that you've put this book together to get the information out there and to and warn and help other women should they see themselves in any kind of similar situation. Thank you so much for joining us and sharing a bit of your story. If listeners want to get a copy of the book, it's called Empower Her Justice, A Manifesto for Equality and Fairness in Policing. It's available on our website, tre.radio, and it's by Zoe Phillips, who we've been chatting with today. Zoe, thank you so much for joining us, and I wish you luck with it all.
Thank you very much, Hannah. Thanks to all the listeners. Thank you.